Hello and welcome to La Cosa Nostra. I'm Edward.
I'm Noah.
And today we will be talking about 2006 Little Miss Sunshine, directed by Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris, starring Greg Kinnear, Steve Carell, Tony Collette, Paul Dano, Abigail Breslin, and Alan Arkin. So, first time watching this movie?
Yeah, I'd always, like with a lot of movies that we're doing now, I'd always heard of this movie, always kind of knew what it was. And it, on Letterboxd, it'd always been like, on my watch list, just sitting there. I'm like, I'm going to get to it one day. One day I did get to it, like 4 months ago, and I started watching it. And I think this was, it wasn't straight after me watching The Royal Tenenbaums, which I think I am actually going to talk about a lot in this one. Because they are really similar, but it was quite close. And I saw a lot of similarities to it. But when I was watching it, I got through the first 20 minutes. I'm like, I'm not that I wasn't enjoying it. I was like, oh God, this isn't a very happy movie, is it? So I kind of came off it. I told myself I was going to get back to it, but I never actually did until we're doing it for this podcast now. So,
yeah. So my first time watching this, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, it's just one of those movies that you kind of come across and decide you want to watch it. So, couple of stats. $8 million budget. Premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. Steve Carell almost didn't get his role in this film because they thought he wasn't famous enough. But then while that was happening...
How long was The Office on before this? I want to say 2 years?
2 or 3 years, but it was still relatively unknown. And then
was it 2007?
He made 40-Year-Old Virgin.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of shot his career up.
Yeah, that was 2 years before this, so it's okay.
So, he didn't have much. While we're on the topic of The Office, Steve Carell's a great actor. For those who've seen The Office, you'd probably know he's very funny. And his character isn't far from the character in this film. Just in this film, he's a lot sadder. But he has that kind of, funny element.
Yeah, he was the second best part of this movie.
And the third. Alan Arkin?
Yes.
The grandpa?
Yes.
Very good.
He was, my issue with this movie was, I have nothing against movies that are sad, okay? I've always watched, The Eternal Sunshine, and I've seen The Royal Tenenbaums, and The Royal Tenenbaums is really close to this kind of movie, where, this family that's kind of broken kind of comes together. But what makes that good is because you actually get a sense that despite these people have their differences, they all are able to enjoy these people's company, each other's company. They all enjoy these people's company. With this movie, none of these people should be within 20 feet within each other, because I don't want to say they don't have any chemistry. It's just, I like them individually. As a group, I don't really enjoy them all together. Yeah. So that was my main issue with it. And I don't have an issue with doing a dysfunctional family story. I really like those. One of my favorite shows is The Simpsons. And that is at the very least, the first 10 seasons really understood that you can mix comedy, but and you can have all these crazy situations happening, but at the end of the day, the heart of the series is about how much these characters all care for each other. And here, when 80% of your movie is them just hurting each other's feelings, I don't like that. At least give me a sense that these people at least care about each other. I don't feel that.
I disagree. I can see one, Steve Carell is at the beginning of the film, has no one he can live with, just attempted to take his own life, and his sister brings him in, and then from there, Paul Dano shows as much kindness as he can as a Nietzsche fan who, doesn't speak. The daughter loves her grandpa. Her grandpa loves him. I think there's a lot of dynamics that feel like they should, that they are a family that, because you don't get to pick your family, right? And I think, there's a lot of butting heads in here, and maybe...
And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't feel there's a problem with that.
But I feel the love in this film.
I don't. I really don't. I'm going back to The Simpsons again. Because for example, let's talk about
I wouldn't call The Simpsons a dysfunctional family. Yeah. They are an average family from the 80s. You're not going to always get along with your sister. Bart and Lisa don't get along. But it doesn't mean that they
No, that was the main conceit of the show in its, first few scenes that this is a dysfunctional family, because in the 80s at the time it was just like happy family all the time. So this is a probably dysfunctional family. And for example, look at the relationship between Homer and Lisa. They're both really different people, but you still feel the love that these people, that these two characters have for each other. And because, like, even though they don't see eye to eye, they always show it. In this one, even the characters who don't see eye to eye just are inexplicably just mean to each other, unrelentlessly mean. And it's just like that, even when at the beginning of the movie where Steve Carell is suffering from like depression, the dad is just like, get better. I'm like, oh my God, it's just, I don't mind a bit of mean-spirited movies. I need to at the very least feel that, okay, he has a little bit of sympathy towards this person, but I just don't get that in this movie.
And I think that's kind of the point of it, though. It's like that they, as a family, they don't necessarily work, but they have like pairs that you see throughout the film that work well with each other. Like Paul Dano works really well with Steve Carell as a relationship. And then obviously Alan Arkin and Abigail Breslin as grandpa and sister work really well. And then obviously the parents are a great like duo. As much as they argue, they're a great like partner.
Even at that, I didn't really feel any love that they had for each other. It was just arguing. And okay, there's only one scene. And guess what? It comes from the grandpa. Where after the dad gets the call that he's kind of sad and everything. And the grandpa actually comes to him and says, it's okay. That's just what I wanted to see more of. It doesn't have to be schmaltzy. It doesn't always have to be like, I love you. Oh, I love you too. I don't expect that. As families aren't like that all the time. But just those signs that they, at the very least, give a crap about each other. That's what I wanted to see. And it was really miserable. It was properly miserable for a lot of time until you get to the ending where you remember, oh yeah, this is a family who actually cares about each other. Huh, how interesting.
Okay.
And
moving to cinematography.
Okay, that's another
thing. I think I really like the cinematography. It's colourful. It's got,
I don't know, it's
yeah,
like
this big yellow bus that feels so out of place, like the whole family. All of them wearing their different coloured t-shirts.
Yeah, but that,
and like different colours and stuff. I quite like the way they kind of overlap.
I don't know. It's like, okay, this movie is in the middle. I really wish it would pick like a kind of like style. It's in the middle of being like an indie movie, you know, having like kind of handheld camera and stuff like that. But then it's kind of trailing to Wes Anderson kind of style when you've got like, yeah, the bright yellow bars and the really, and the t-shirts that really pop out. And there's nothing wrong with it. I still like it, but like it would have been way more unique if you just picked one instead of just going kind of just blah in the middle.
I think that's the style of the film, is that it's kind of like perfectly imperfect. It has the Wes Anderson perfect shots, and then mixed in is these like very dysfunctional, weird looking shots.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, so my favorite character in this was the grandpa.
Yeah.
And I was really vibing with this movie because
really
you
funny.
Had the grandpa, like the talk to Paul Dano's character about about women. That was, yeah, and it just keeps going on and on. You know, I was actually, the reason like this movie was actually kind of good because like he had the grandpa and he was actually the only fun bit. And I actually felt that he gave like a crap about any of these other characters, you know? And then he just dies.
Yeah.
He just dies. I'm like, okay.
But I mean, that
you
does
were doing
give way
so well
post his death to a load of really good performances from this film.
Yeah.
Like Paul Dano doesn't speak for the first half, is still a very good performer. And then after the eye colour test, the colour blindness test,
yeah,
that like crash out, screaming, crying, so well done.
That was
Abigail very Breslin well. Is what, 11 in this film?
Oh no, it's definitely younger than
I think she does a really good job for a young actor.
I want to say 8.
That scene where she asks her grandpa if she's pretty, that was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That was such a good scene.
Okay, 10. 9, yeah, 9.
So good. Alan Arkin, obviously, we've talked about his character. He's naturally funny and it's a very good job there. Steve Carell, for not being a large man with a large nose, like in Minions or like most things, he does really well in this film. I think playing a depressed gay Proust scholar is very much out there for yeah.
Oh shit, I didn't.
He has the whole thing where he like loves his like student, but the student like loves the other professor.
Okay, I clearly wasn't particularly locked in this movie.
He does a really good job, I think, Steve Carell.
Yeah, he definitely does.
And the dad, even though he's more, I think he's more of like a more supporting character than the others in the fact that his own storyline feels kind of forgotten.
Yeah, they completely just like,
he does a good job.
Yeah, the thing with this movie, it just ends. It doesn't have a particularly compelling ending. Like, the entire ending brings this movie from a 7 out of 10 to an 8 out of 10 because it's just completely just...
What, did they manage to get a great dance, like, thing out?
Yeah.
She loses.
Because guess what? That was the only bit where, like, oh, God, these characters actually, like, care about each other. Oh, my God, they actually care and they're actually together. That is nice. I don't know why I have to specify that that's important in the movie.
I think the ending's very good. It's a very Boyhood-esque ending.
Yeah.
They have the dance that they want. They don't win. There's
and of
nice
course, of course, the dance was made by the grandpa. Like what,
that was
what
so
expect?
Good. Can we talk? That's really funny. That like that is
yeah,
a good.
That was my favorite
scene.
Part of the movie because it was like, of course, the grandpa would do this.
Like that is very funny.
I just want to say
it raises a lot of questions about the grandpa, but it's a great.
I just want to say this kind of a tangent. I don't like the ideas of like beauty pageants with 10-year-olds.
Oh, no,
it's icky.
With young girls especially, like that's
like
one
10.
Way to kickstart body
dysmorphia.
And you
got like a male, like a 40-year-old host. It's like
that was really
how
weird.
Could you do that to your daughter? You put her in a. It's just.
But they did such a good job there with like making it seem so repulsive.
I know.
With
when the whole thing is actually just repulsive.
Yeah,
this
but
is just
they
way
like
more
designed
obvious.
It that way where they put it in like a gross room. All of the parents are sitting on these like gross chairs. The stage is tiny. The guy is more fake tan than the models.
Yeah, and the guy's just going around the kids. Oh,
and all of the girls look like all the 10-year-olds.
Obviously, again, they're wearing like bikinis.
That's really sketchy.
Obviously these things still go on. I don't like the idea of that. But, a funny story, but like, until you said it just now, I had no clue Paul Dano was in this. I know.
You're underrated.
I know.
Riddler. Swiss Army Man, There Will Be Blood.
He's the Riddler. Jesus.
And The Fablemans.
I need to get into this, but it's like, this movie, I had one of the best things part of this movie. I had no clue where it was going to go. And the best movies are the ones where I don't watch it.
You don't expect
and I,
it.
And I know, I don't start it and I get 50 minutes in and I know all the beats. And something really funny happened to this. So like the day before I watched this, me and my sister watched this film called The Girl Next Door. Didn't even realize Paul Dano was in that one as well.
Is he?
Yeah, search it up. And because my sister had seen like a TikTok edit of this movie and she said it looks pretty good. And I had nothing better to do in my time. I was like,
was it good?
Oh, this movie was not good.
Oh, he
15
is.
Minutes in, I knew exactly where this movie was going to go. It's your most by-the-numbers teen comedy you have ever seen. And my sister was like, oh my God, look, there's Paul Dano. I'm like, Paul who? I'm like, she's like, you don't know who Paul Dano is? I'm like, I've heard the name. And she's like, the guy from The Fablemans. And I thought she was talking about like the main kid from The Fablemans.
Gabriel LaBelle.
Like, I was like, are you stupid? And she's like, no, the dad. I was like, okay. So I just watched these movies and there's so many movies I've watched. When I watched The Batman, I didn't know it was Paul Dano. It's just like, I don't even know why, because he just looks so different. Like I watch him in The Fablemans, and he just looks
he's
completely
a chameleon
different.
Of that
yeah.
Actor.
So The Girl Next Door was a movie I just watched before Eternal, Little Miss Sunshine, and it was like even watching this movie, I didn't even pick up on it. It was literally the day after I watched this. It was wow, you know. I guess that makes him a good actor, you know, because I just never knew, you know.
He's a great chameleon actor.
Yeah, so it was a cheap movie to make.
Did it win any awards? That's the question.
Again, Wikipedia's blocked, so I don't know.
It made 101 million off 8 million, which is mental. It's
101 million?
Yeah, off 8. That's like 92.1 million. It's like a lot of money. Miramax films.
Miramax. This makes it a Disney movie then?
Yes, it does. It's on
Miramax. I'm not too familiar with Miramax personally.
I think it brought a lot of money in because of Alan Arkin and
It's just a good. I think
Steve Carell.
I think it's one of those. It's just like it's a really good
40-year-old virgin.
Yeah. So 101. I don't know what the box office was like in 2006. I am not that familiar with 2006 movies. What did come out in 2006? Okay, you had
it's a Dark Knight movie, 2006.
No, 2005. The Batman Begins, 2005.
Yeah, one of them.
Casino Royale.
Oh wow.
Happy Feet.
I hate Happy Feet.
Ice Age 2. Okay. 2006 isn't really hitting. Superman Returns. Anybody remember Superman Returns? The Da Vinci Code. Okay. X-Men The Last Stand. Jeez, 2006 was not hitting.
The Departed.
Cars, which is it's all right. It's pretty good.
Cars. I love Cars so much.
It certainly is a movie. And Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, which I think it's a good movie. The second Pirates of the Caribbean is a properly good movie.
I think this was the best movie that came out that year, 2006.
Yeah. Oh, you have the whole thing with Crash coming out that year and everybody going like, that shouldn't have won Best Picture. You haven't. Did this get a Best Picture nomination?
I think it deserves one. The Devil Wears Prada came out.
Okay. Yeah, what actually happened in 2006, please?
Why are there so many random...
Over the Hedge.
Oh, Marianne.
Classic. That's a hood classic, man.
Is Over the Hedge also Steve Carell?
Shoot, it is.
Steve Carell owns 2006.
He does, actually. What the hell?
The Office season 2 or 3, this, Little Miss Sunshine...
Yeah, okay.
The writing is so well written.
Okay. I don't know. Don't quote me on this. But I think Abigail Breslin was the youngest person to get an Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Role. Because she was about 10?
And she got a...
Yeah.
Supporting. She's the main character.
You're obviously not going to put her against like people like Halle Berry. It's just no. They would never do that. Okay.
Did she not win?
Of course she didn't win.
Who won?
And let me see.
This is such a good movie.
If
you haven't seen this and you're listening, 1, spoilers, 2.
Okay, who won? Jennifer Hudson for Dreamgirls. When I first watched Dreamgirls like 5 months ago.
Jennifer Hudson, Dreamgirls, wow.
No, spoiler. Have you seen her performance in Dreamgirls?
No.
It is genuinely one of the most awe-inspiring things I've seen in my life. You need to go. No, you need to go watch after this. I don't even know why I watched it. I just kind of felt like it. But it was,
I don't know if I could be bothered to watch Dreamgirls.
It was on ITVX. I had nothing better to do in my day, and I was like, yeah, okay. And yeah, she completely deserved that win.
Little Miss Sunshine is a stage musical now.
Anything gets a stage musical. I found out Beetlejuice has a stage musical.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
I don't know what you could do with that.
Little Miss Sunshine stage musical. I can see it.
Yeah, it got a Best Picture nomination.
Did it win? No,
The Departed. I've never seen The Departed.
Enough. Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, because what else would you give it to?
That's fair enough if he gets it for that, but he deserves it for other things.
I mean, yeah, he should have got it.
Like Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Goodfellas.
What's it called?
I would have preferred that this is one based off only film, but because it's Scorsese and he had basically no other actors.
I saw Cape Fear. Cape Fear. I only watched it because I really liked the Simpsons episode. And it was like, Cape Fear is such a good movie. Like, it is a really good Scorsese movie because it's kind of like a Hitchcock film at the same time. You know, I think it might still be on BBC iPlayer. I have no clue. Yeah. It got Best Original Screenplay nomination.
Did it win?
Nope. The Departed. No, I'm genuinely looking at every single one, The Departed. Okay.
Lucas, this is so well written. I mean, come on.
Wait,
Anora is going to win that many Oscars, Little Miss Sunshine.
Sorry. I haven't been looking at this right. Sorry. I think I'm wrong. Oh, no, it won. I'm sorry.
It won?
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. Okay.
Forrest Whitaker winning actor in the leading role over DiCaprio is crazy. Will Smith didn't win.
For The Pursuit of Happiness.
That's so good.
No, I don't know that many people have actually seen King Richard. I think King Richard is a better performance.
that. Alan Arkin wins actor in a supporting role.
Oh, okay.
Little Miss Sunshine. He did so well in this movie. I mean, very, very good.
I still think Jennifer Hudson. George Miller's only directing Oscar, not for Mad Max, it goes to Happy Feet.
Why did you Happy do Mad Feet. Max and Happy Feet? That's a really weird combo.
Pan's Labyrinth. I haven't seen Pan's Labyrinth.
I made a movie about how fuel runs out on the Earth. What should I make a movie about now? Talking penguins.
I know,
who
it's
dogs.
So bad. I'm sorry, I can't get into it right now, but God.
Martin Scorsese wins. The director.
You know, Clint Eastwood is still alive. Like, I can't believe Clint Eastwood
is still
alive.
I thought he kicked off a while ago.
No, he's still good. Oh,
I talk a lot about Jim Carrey on this show. Jim Carrey's Clint Eastwood impression is amazing.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one. That was. I've heard of The Inconvenient Truth, yeah.
Documentary. Did it win anything else or no?
No.
I think this might have been it. Pan's Labyrinth winning Oscar.
Yeah, no, have you seen it? It looks, no. Yeah. Oh my God, wait.
Oh, it got a nomination for Best Picture, but lost.
Which, I don't know, it seems like the movie that is bred in a lab to get a Best Picture nomination.
Martin Scorsese, DiCaprio, De Niro, and it's a mafia movie. I mean, come on.
The Academy loves those movies. I also think Little Miss Sunshine is kind of like,
not Oscar bait.
No, it is. It is.
No, it's not.
You got an indie film that touches on depression, and you got a little bit of comedy in there. Like, you know, I really feel, you gotta say, it's a little bit, not as much as The Departed, because, yeah.
It's a solid movie, though.
It's still a solid movie. I don't know the next time I'm gonna watch it.
It's better than Treasure Planet.
Okay. Even if it is,
I don't know. Really? You're going to tell me Steve Carell slitting his own wrists is not better than a talking chipmunk with a robot arm?
See, that's the problem. Just because a movie is more serious doesn't make it a better movie.
But I don't want to hear it. A talking chipmunk with a robot arm.
That's like saying The Wild Robot or Flo is not as good as Emilia Perez because it doesn't touch on...
No, The Wild Robot's so much better than Emilia Perez.
That's what I'm trying to say. Don't even get me started. I'm not saying... Oh, I'm not defending Emilia Perez. Emilia Perez can go...
I don't know why that was... Who wrote that and why?
I'm not getting into the best adapted
anyway,
screenplay.
Anyway, didn't win any other Oscars other than supporting actor for Alan Arkin. I don't know if it did. The music in this is really good. Sufjan Stevens.
I can't remember a single track in this movie. It's
very good. General vibe.
Can you see what else the directors have done?
It won two Oscars. So it won writer and... supporting actor.
Yeah, which is that's good. Like, I swear this...
And this is added to our collection of made one or two good indie movies and then disappeared off the face of the earth.
Like, I even want to say...
So one of the directors did, obviously, Little Miss Sunshine, and then it did Battle of the Sexes, and then...
I swear Steve Carell's in that.
Did they?
Really?
I mean, that was about it. Anything else by...
I remember that.
Which
movie.
Is part of the famous curse that every MJ actor has to do a tennis movie.
Wait, what?
Have you not heard about this? So there's a theory that in every Spider-Man movie, the person who plays MJ or the love interest is in a tennis movie, and every Spider-Man is in a war movie. So you have Tobey Maguire in Ride with the Devil, and you have Kirsten Dunst in Match Point.
Zendaya was in Challenges.
Zendaya was in Challenges, and Tom was in a movie called Cherry, which is about war.
Yeah.
And then you've got Andrew Garfield doing Hacksaw Ridge and Emma Stone doing Battle of the Sexes.
Yeah. Have you seen Spider-Man 4? I can't remember. Yeah, who was
Sadie Sink? Is cast, and she's got red hair, so it's pretty obvious who they've cast her as.
MJ.
Wait, hold on, we've already got an MJ.
Exactly, it's like Gwen Stacy. Is that already Gwen Stacy? I can't remember.
I don't know if they cost.
Really don't need to make a fourth one. I'd say wait another 10 years to start again, but, you know, what are you going to do? I don't really mind. What are you going to do? you know. Yeah, so anything else?
No, I think that's us.
Yeah.
So, what do we rate it?
A 7 out of 10.
10 out of 10.
It's a decent movie.
Are we averaging out at 8.5?
Yeah, four stars. I don't mind
it. I don't agree, 5. But
I don't know. I don't think I'm going to watch it again in a long time.
I will probably watch it in 3 weeks. Let's be honest.
Okay, fair enough.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you for listening. I've been Edward.
I've been Noah.
Have a wonderful day.
Yeah.